So go ahead and be seated.
I was about to say, don't be seated. Go ahead and turn to 2 Timothy 2. We'll let the kids go ahead and be dismissed. And that's fun to sing some Christmas carols this morning. Hark the herald angels sing. What an amazing night that would be to hang out with the shepherds and hear the angels sing about the newborn king. So we'll let the kids go ahead and head up to junior church. I'm looking forward next week to some special songs from them and really presenting the Christmas story as we go through the service next week. That will be a real joy. It's a great opportunity to get someone and bring them with you to church, some family, some friends. This is the time of year when people who don't go to church sometimes will. And that means it's a great opportunity for you to invite them and pray that the Lord would use you to bring them with you and let them come and hear all about what Christ has come to do, not just to be born in a manger, but to save sinners by his great grace. So we have just two verses of scripture. I didn't want to have you sit down and then stand right back up to read two verses and then sit back down again. So we are going to look today at the wonder of the word. 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16. The Bible says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. You can be seated. Let's go ahead and pray together and ask the Lord's blessing on this time in his word. Dear Father, we are so glad today to come together and to celebrate really you coming down to us. It's really our only hope, Lord. We could never come to you on our own. We cannot find our way to heaven. Yet, Lord, you have come down. You have opened heaven and sent your Son to come to earth, to be born and live a perfect life and die as the substitute for our sins, so we can be reconciled to you. And God, we praise you, not only for doing this, but also for speaking to us and telling us about it. All the way from the beginning, speaking to Adam and Eve in the garden and speaking through your prophets in various ways, Lord, you have sought to tell people about yourself and about your Son and about the way of salvation through Christ. And God, we praise you for that, that we don't have to be in the dark about who you are or how we can have a relationship with you, because you've spoken to us in your word. And so God, we praise you for doing this. And we pray now that as our kids are upstairs, that they would learn from your word more about you and more about what you have done for them, that they would come to understand clearly their sin and guilt and yet the great mercy that you've extended through Christ. Lord, we pray for ourselves that we would understand and think more deeply about what you have done for us, that the wonderful truth of the gospel would not only encourage our hearts, but it would shape the way that we live, would shape our lives. And so, God, we pray now that you would help us. And I pray that you'd help us as we look at this passage in 2 Timothy and consider what an amazing treasure you've given us in your word. God, we pray you would help us to have that truth sink home in our hearts, that we would truly look at the Bible and we would be amazed. We would wonder at this wonderful word that you have spoken to us. God, we pray you'd stir up our hearts with an amazement and a hunger for your word today. And Lord, we ask that you would do this, that we might know you better, and that we might walk in your ways, and that we might do your work. Lord, there are many in our congregation who are hurting or are suffering in some way, And we ask you to bless them, Lord. We ask you to help them. Those that are here today, I pray they'd be comforted and encouraged by your goodness and your mercy. And those that are unable to be here, God, we pray that you would watch over them and strengthen them and bring them back here with us. Oh, Lord, we need your help as we look at your word. We want this to be not just another time where we come and hear a speech, but a time where we hear, Lord, you speaking by your Spirit through your word into our lives and changing us for your glory. So we pray for your help, and we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, I want to say, first of all, thanks to you all. Last week, my wife and I were not here. We were out of town in Colorado, and we were able to do that because of the generous gift that you all gave to us back in October for the Pastor Appreciation Month. And I just want to say thank you so much for that. We had a wonderful time, and we are glad to get away, and we're glad to be back and be back here with you today. 2 Timothy chapter 3 is a passage that I think is familiar to most of you. In fact, I hope it's very familiar to you. And if not, I hope it will be very, very familiar to you by the time we're done here today. I want you, though, to not be familiar with it. That's not my aim. My aim is that you would be amazed at it, that you would wonder at it. This is the time of year when there's lots of wonder. It's kind of floating around in the air almost. It's a season of celebration and excitement. And if you don't have any yourself, well, you can just watch children this time of year. And watch them walk around and look at the lights, which are very cool up here, by the way. Look at the lights, look at the decorations in various places, and see the Christmas trees go up, and look with wonder and excitement at what's under it, and wonder if it's for them. It's amazing. And really, it's more fun for me as an adult to watch children enjoy those lights than it even is for me to enjoy the lights. Anybody else have that experience? It's something that you just forget about as an adult. You forget about how amazing and astounding it all is. And watching children is just the gift from the Lord to be able to see a little bit of that wonder and amazement. So I wonder this morning, what's the last thing you wondered about? What's the last thing that you saw and you were just amazed by? Maybe it was something actually you read in the Word. You know, sometimes we come across passages and we're like, wow, God is so good and he's so gracious. Or this is just what I needed. I'm amazed. It might be that you walk into church and you find that the sermon has been prepared just for you, right? Not really, but it feels that way sometimes. Sometimes in a really good way, and sometimes in a little uncomfortable way. But God speaks to you right there through his word, and you're amazed, and you wonder at it. I enjoy being around little kids when they see the wonder, and they're amazed, because it makes it more wonderful and exciting to me. You know, it's like their enthusiasm kind of rubs off on you a little bit. You're like, oh, this is really great and really amazing. We enjoy wonders the most when we, you know, wonder together, when we do it with other people. So what I hope to do today is not take you on a Christmas lights display, but I hope to take you on a little walk through these verses to see just what an amazing wonder we have right here in the Word of God. There's some characteristics of the Bible that Paul talks about in this passage that he uses to urge Timothy to continue in the Word. Back in verse number 14, he tells him to continue in the things that he's learned and been assured of. And those things are things that he's been taught by his mother, by his grandmother, and that he has been taught from the Word. And then Paul gives us three characteristics of the Scripture. Characteristics that if we could grab a hold of, things that if we could just not walk past and not pay attention to, but if we could stop and see just how amazing they really are, and they would provoke you, like Pastor Derek was talking about earlier. They would encourage you to grab a hold of this book, the Bible, and recognize it as what it truly is. It is the wonder of the world. To put all these characteristics into one sentence, I would do it like this. God's Word trains us in God's ways so that we can do God's work. God's words trains us in God's ways so that we can do God's works. So I want us to look at these three characteristics. The first one to see is the Bible source. Look back at verse 16 in 2 Timothy 3. The Bible's source. That is, the Bible speaks with God's words. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. The New American Standard says all Scripture is inspired by God. Another translation that gets a little even closer is the ESV. It says it's breathed out by God. I'm not trying to give you a translation lecture here, but it's turning into that quickly, isn't it? There's a newer translation, the Legacy Standard Bible we've talked about. It translates this passage as God breathed. And that's really very literally what the text says. It says that the Bible is God breathed. Now, if you could get way too close and personal with me right now and get right in front of my face, you could tell that my words were Jack breathed, right? As I speak, the breath's coming out. It's coming up through my vocal cords. I think this is how it works. I'm just making all this up. It's coming across my vocal cords, out my mouth. You can feel the breath. You can hear the sound. The claim that Paul makes about the Bible is that the words of the Bible, they have originated with God. It's the air has come through his lungs, so to speak, and across his vocal cords and come out. And so the words of Scripture are the words of God. Now that's astounding. That's astounding. The words of the Bible are not just the words of some men, what they think about God. I don't know if you've ever browsed the religious section at a bookstore, or better yet, go to a thrift store and go to the book section and look at the religious books. There are all kinds of super crazy ideas out there about God and about spirituality and about where we're going. And you can literally, anything you can imagine, somebody has written a book about that. And then there's far more that you could never even dream up that people have imagined about God. And many of those books do end up in the thrift store or in the trash can because they're just the words of men. But the Bible, what we have an English translation in our hands today, this is a book that was beginning to be written in Moses' day. I don't know if you're familiar with the chronology of the Bible or not, but Moses lived a very long time ago. And yet, the words that God spoke through Moses have endured through centuries, through millennia, to come to us today. And we read and we study these words because they're not just Moses' words or Joshua's words or David's or Paul's. They're God's words. That's amazing. I think it was John Piper that said, if you want to hear God speak, open your Bible and read it out loud. That's the truth. Because these words are God breathed. They come from him. When we talk about inspiration, that's what we mean. The Bible is God's words. He spoke through men. It's astounding. This is not just Paul's idea about the Bible, by the way. Back in Deuteronomy 8 and verse number 3, the end of this verse is Moses speaking. And I'm just going to read the very end of it. It says, "Man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God." See how Moses used the exact same kind of picture about the Bible. He says, this is not just my words, Moses said. These are words that have come from God's mouth. God has spoken to us. How amazing. How precious is that? You know, if you had a message from somebody important, you'd treasure it. And we have a message from God in the Bible. 2 Peter 1 and verse 21, Peter affirms the same thing. He says, "The prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." How did men write down God's words? Well, God's Spirit moved them to do that. God, in a mysterious way, used people to record His words. And we have them today. We have that. What God said to Moses, we have in our hands. The instructions He gave to Joshua, we have them here. Now, some of you might enjoy going to museums. I'm one of those people. I know everyone's not like that. But it is amazing to me to go to a museum and see something very old. I don't know why. I just think it's cool. I got a chance in high school to go to the Smithsonian Museums in Washington, D.C., and they had a display at one of them on Ur, the city of Ur, back from Abraham's time. And they had some little figurines of animals that they dated to the time of Abraham. That was just amazing to me. I'm thinking, Abraham could have played with that thing when he was a little boy. Or he couldn't have given it to Isaac yet because he left way before then. But this is amazing. I could just stand there and stare at that and imagine this thing has survived for like 4,000 years. And here it is in a museum for me to look at. That's amazing. But you know what? That little figurine couldn't do anything for me. It didn't help me. It didn't provide any guidance for me. It didn't teach me anything about God. The Bible is that old, right? And God speaks through it to us. It's an astounding book. Isaiah 45 and verse 23, Isaiah says this, speaking with the Lord's words, "I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness and shall not return, that to me every knee shall bow and every tongue shall take an oath." The Bible is not a collection of man's thoughts about God. It is a revelation of God speaking to us. So that book that you hold in your hands or you have on your phone, or if you don't have any of those, there's one in the pew right in front of you. You can hold in your hands the very word of God. That ought to amaze you. That ought to not be something you just walk past like, oh, and forget about and think it's no big deal. You know, when it sits on your shelf or on that little side table as you walk in your door and you set it down and it sits there for a couple days unopened, it ought to be when you walk by it that you'd say, that's the word of God. That's not something to neglect or to leave behind. That's amazing. God has spoken to us. The Bible gives us God's words. Now, the tragedy is from from the very beginning, we have not been very good at listening to God's words, right? Let's take a moment and point our finger at Adam and Eve, because that's fun, right? They always mess it up. We can always point to them as the ones who did it. Eve and Adam had instructions from God. God met with them and walked with them and talked with them in the garden. He laid out before them all of creation. They were the lords over the earth. They were to have dominion over everything and access to everything except for that one tree, right? One tree they were not supposed to eat. And did they listen? They did not listen. The rebellion that they did against God was simply not listening to his words. They didn't want to submit to what he said. They followed their own way. This is the problem that all of humanity has. This is why we need Christmas. Not so we can have a time when we feel warm and fuzzy and enjoy the celebration, but so we can remember that God sent his son to save us. Why did he need to save us? Because we didn't listen. We didn't listen to him. We rebelled against him. We went our own direction. The failure of Adam and Eve was a failure to submit to God's words. It was a pride that they wanted to go their own way. Sometimes we don't listen defiantly. Right? We hear what we're supposed to do, and we're like, not going to do it. You know, I think all these regulations around COVID and health might be one of those things where you know what I'm talking about. You're like, I don't want to do that. I don't want to go along with that. That's sometimes the way we defy God. We know what we should do, and we don't do it. But I want to assert to you that most people have a bigger problem than open rebellion against God. It is not only the times of open rebellion, but it is just plain ignoring God. You know, the creator of all the world, the one who gives us life and breath, the one that we were made right here, we were made to give him glory. We were made to worship him, to love him, to obey him. And it is the height of rebellion to blow that off, to say that doesn't matter, that's not important. And that is what every human being has done. And if you don't understand really why Jesus came, you need to understand what this means to ignore God's words, to sin against him, to rebel against him by not giving him the glory and honor that he deserves. That's the problem. That's why you need a savior. Because if you want to ignore God and you want to push him off to the side and you want to live your life without paying much attention to him, then you will spend eternity away from him as well. An eternity away from God is not a party that you can enjoy. It is a time experiencing nothing but the wrath of God forever. It's a horrible thing. But it is the end of not listening to the God who speaks. The God who speaks to us. The good news of the gospel is that though we are like this by nature, we do our own thing, we ignore God, we live our own lives with ourselves as the king, that God sent his son. He sent his son. We sang about the angels announcing it to the shepherds. They announced that he was to be born in the city of David, a savior. That Jesus came as the perfect man, always loving God, always honoring God, always doing what is right, doing what I could not do and what you could not do. Jesus came and he died in our place, the innocent for the guilty. That whoever would believe in him, whoever would come to him and listen to what he says, listen to his call, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He cries out, whoever will call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Jesus first words recorded in the book of Mark as he began his ministry are words that everyone needs to hear. He said, repent and believe the gospel. Stop ignoring God. Stop going your own way. Turn and pay attention. Believe the good news that though you're sinful and guilty, there is a Savior. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. That is good news to wonder at, isn't it? It's good news to say that though I, in my foolishness, ignored God, in my stubbornness, I defied God, but in His mercy, He has spoken, and He has given such good words, like, for God so loved the world, that He gave His only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He invites us to come and drink of the living waters, to come and respond to Him. If you are not a Christian, then you should come today and you should repent and believe the gospel. You should recognize that you need to hear these words of forgiveness that come from Christ, and you need to cling to Him. One thing that's always a joy is to be around a new believer. It's like being around a small child at Christmas. There's wonder. There's excitement. There's amazement that God would forgive me. But if we're not careful, something happens along the way and that becomes old news to us. You know, we ought to work at, we ought to pray about the Lord helping us to never get over the fact that I am a sinner that deserves condemnation. But You are a great Savior who has rescued me, not because of who I am or what I've done, but because of Your great mercy. We had to pray that the Lord would stir in our hearts to be wonder, be full of wonder and amazement at that. So, Christian, do we wonder at the Word? Part of what we do as we gather together as a church is we try to give this kind of reverence and honor to the Bible. That it's something that's amazing and special. You know, when whoever comes up to give announcements, we don't all stand when they give announcements. That's not what calls our attention. I mean, hopefully you pay attention to some of the announcements, right? But that's not the thing that demands our reverence. But when we come and we open up the Bible, we say, let's stand together for the reading of the Word, because this is not just our Word. This is not just a holy man's Word. This is a holy God's Word. Paul tries to stir up Timothy to hold fast to the Bible because the Bible speaks with God's words. Christian, have you been in awe of the fact that the book you hold in your hand is the Word of God? If you think about that and you let that really sink in, then you know that you can't ignore it, right? You know that you can't leave it to the side. You know you've got to get into it. You know you want to hear more of it. I trust that's why you're here today, because the main part of our service is to open up God's Word and to walk by little through what He says and understand it so that we can know God. And that so we can know His ways. The Bible is an amazing, amazing book. I read a quote a couple weeks ago from Alistair Begg, who is a pastor somewhere back east. I forgot where. He said this. He said, if truth were told, most of us spend longer each day on personal cleanliness than on practical godliness. That's one of those amen or woe is me kind of statements. He said, if truth were told, most of us spend longer each day on personal cleanliness than on practical godliness. I read that several weeks ago, thinking about preaching on this Sunday and thinking about the importance of God's Word. If we really realize this book is God speaking to us, then that truth that he said, if the truth were known, that should not be true about us, right? This book ought to be our hunger and our thirst and our desire. We must remain committed to the scriptures because God speaks to us through the scriptures. So that's one reason the Bible is amazing and ought to bring us to wonder at it. And let's go ahead and look further at 2 Timothy 3, and let's look at the second reason. That is the Bible's substance. So the Bible speaks to us with God's word, but the Bible trains us in God's ways. Verse 16, it says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine or teaching, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. So Paul is telling Timothy, the Bible comes from God, it's God-breathed, and the Bible trains us in the way to live. The words of the Bible are there to teach us about how to know God and how to walk with him, how to glorify him. Now, all of us have probably had the experience of needing somebody else to guide us. You know, even if it was just you needed Google Maps to guide you somewhere on your phone, or you needed someone else to tell you how to do something. As a child, certainly people are always telling us how to do things to the point we don't want anyone to tell us how to do anything. And that's called a teenager. And then you get to be an adult, and you're the one trying to tell other people how to do things. But who better to be our guide than God? Who better to show us how to live than God? And have you ever wondered, what in the world? How can I be a parent to raise my children? How can I be the right kind of spouse? How in the world can I face this situation? I don't know what to do or how to respond. Who better to be our guide than God himself? The message of the Bible reveals to us the true knowledge of God and how to live in a righteous way. The scripture prepares us to walk before God daily and to stand before God in eternity. The Bible is the way. The Bible teaches us the way. The help that you need if you're a parent is in this book. There's loads of instruction for parents and children in this book. So before you run off and sign up for some webinar about how to be a good parent, or you buy a book about how to be a good parent, look at what God says. Not that other things aren't helpful, but what is most needed is God's instruction. It's profitable for teaching. The Bible teaches us about God and about how to live in a way we could never know. In the book of Judges, an angel comes and appears to a woman and tells her she's going to have a son, and it's going to end up being Samson. He's going to be one of the judges of the Old Testament, one of the mighty deliverers. Her husband finds out about this. The angel comes and speaks, and the Lord confirms this to him, and Manoah has a prayer request. This is Samson's dad. He has a prayer request that he gives to the Lord. It's in Judges 13:8. It says, Manoah entreated the Lord and said, O Lord, please let the man of God who you have sent come to us again, that he may teach us what to do for the boy who is to be born. And that's a heart of humility of Manoah, and that's a good verse for parents to have, right? Lord, would you teach me what to do with this thing? How do I train this child to walk in your ways? What we need to hear from is we need to hear from God. Now, the Bible obviously speaks to more than just being a parent. Whatever your situation is, whether it's with children, without children, with a spouse, without a spouse, God's word has instructions for you. He has instructions for how to live each day for his glory, how to work on your job, or how to deal with not being able to work. The word is full of truth to instruct us, to teach us, and we need to hear it. God's word teaches us through doctrine, it says. That's just the instruction. Here's what to do. It also teaches us, Paul says, through reproof. It's profitable to show us what to do, as well as to tell us that's not what to do. Right? Sometimes we come to the word and it guides us. And we're like, oh, that's what I need to do. And other times it confronts us. It reproves us. It reminds us that what we're doing isn't pleasing to God. But we need this. We need this. The rebukes, the reproofs of Scripture are for our good. Because I don't know everything. You don't know everything. Even when I know what's right to do, I don't even always do what I know is right to do. I need the word of reproof. And the Bible is going to give that to me. It's going to give it to you. God intends for his word to shape the way we live by teaching us what to do and turning us away from what's wrong. Here's the thing. You cannot rely on 52 Sunday morning sermons a year to teach you what you need to know about God's word. I'm not trying to say we have 52 really bad sermons every year that aren't helpful. Maybe just 26, right? I don't know. You can decide which 26. No, I'm just kidding. We need more than that. It's not possible that we could give in that short time everything that we all need to know about how to live our lives to please God. But we live in a day where we are so blessed. You know, we don't have to go to the synagogue or to the temple to hear the word. We don't have to try to scratch out our own copy of a few things that we want to remember. Or we don't have to spend an enormous amount of money to purchase a copy of it. We have it everywhere. Everywhere freely available. We have such a great privilege, and we need God's word to teach us. It's been said many times, and it was written in the front of a Bible that was given to me as a teenager, this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. And that's one of the functions of the Bible, is to teach us what's right, yes, but to reprove us when we're wrong. And it's not enough, though, just to say, this is what you're supposed to do, this is what you're not supposed to do. There's a third direction here of the word. It's profit to us. It says it's also profitable for correction. Correction. It's one thing to say, hey, that's the wrong way. But correction says, this is how you go back to the right way. This is how you get back to the right path. God's word is full of that. Are you struggling with sin? Are you struggling with something that you know is not pleasing to the Lord and you're trying to turn away from it? Listen, what you need is God's word. This book has help for you. This book has help so that you don't have to keep falling off course. You don't have to keep wandering away. You don't have to be lost. You can come and follow God's ways. By the power of God's Spirit and through the truth of his word, he can warn you about what's wrong and instruct you in the right way. Can teach you the truth. The problem we often have is we don't look beyond what we already know when we're struggling. We don't look beyond what we already know. We just go back to what we thought or what we did one time. And we end up falling again and again and again. It's because we need more than what we know. We need what God says. We need what God has revealed. We need to grab a hold of this book like it's a treasure, like it's our way out of the path of sin, like it's the way to change who we are, because that's what God uses his word to do. We need to dig into it and read it and pray and ask God to teach us. And if you're struggling with something, listen, you need to talk to another believer. You know, the pastors, elders, we'd love to try to help you get teaching from the scripture, to get correction from the scripture, to learn to walk in God's ways, to learn to walk in victory over sin. We'd love to help you do that. There's other believers around you. If you look at them and you see in their lives a pattern of godliness, then ask them for help. Ask them to pray with you. Ask them to help you find things in the Bible that will guide you in the right way. Scripture corrects us by fixing the errors in our thinking and in our action. We need both of those. We need the word to shape our thoughts so that we can walk in God's ways. And then the final thing in verse 16 he gives us is the scripture is profitable for doctrine, reproof, correction, and then instruction in righteousness, or training in righteousness. You know, it's one thing to say this is what not to do and this is how you get back. But this instruction in righteousness, you could think of it as this is how you stay here, right? It's one thing when you get your directions on your phone and you go the wrong way, and then it's going to recalculate your route. It's going to direct you back to the road you're supposed to be on, and then it's going to show you the rest of the way to get to your destination. That's what Paul says is so amazing about the word, so good about the word. Is it shows us the right way, it corrects us when we get off track, it points us back, and it trains us on walking in God's ways. As we approach the end of a year and the start of a new one, it's a time when, if we don't make resolutions, we at least hear people talking about resolutions. All right, it's the traditional time to kind of take stock. And really, it's a gift from God, you know, to have different seasons and have those seasons end and a new one begin. It reminds us to pay attention to what we're doing with the time that we have here and to use it for good. And I'm going to guess that every person in this room, if you were to make a resolution for the new year, each one of us would want to be a better follower of Jesus in the coming year. I don't think there'd be anybody here who'd say, I'm really hoping to be worse at being a Christian next year. So how are we going to be better at it? How are we going to do that? We're going to pick up the wonder that God has given to us. His words. Because his words train us in his ways. They teach us how to follow him. So if you want to be a better Christian in the coming year, then you need to be more devoted to God's words in the coming year. It's simple, because that's what the word does. We need to be in it more. We need to be thinking of it more. We need to be hearing it more. We need to be considering it more. Because the Bible is God's words, and they're teaching us to walk in God's ways. Now, there's a danger among Bible-believing Christians, people that come to a Bible church. The danger is that we hear lots of the Bible, and we know lots of stuff about it. And we want you to hear and know more and more. Those of you that aren't coming to the Bible class that's right before this, the kids are learning about the Bible. The adults are learning a survey through the Bible. I mean, we want you to be there for everything, right? Because we want you to hear more and to know more. But if you are not transformed by the word, then I would say you're not truly informed by the word. You don't truly understand it if it's not changing the way that you think and the way that you live. The danger is that we get all this information, like James warned about. He said to be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. You can feel very spiritual because you understand the message of the Bible, or because you remember that Habakkuk is actually a person. He's a prophet in the Old Testament, and he's got a book. You can feel spiritual because you know trivia about the Bible. But the scripture was not given for our information, right? It was given for our transformation, that we'd know God and we'd know his ways. So how does the word of God guide you? That's not a question I'm going to answer. That's a question I'm asking you to ask yourself. How is your life guided by God's word? Maybe when was the last time that you made a decision based upon what scripture taught you? Now, as Christians, if you've been a Christian for a long time, you've been growing in the Lord, you've been making many decisions according to God's word. You've been making many choices based on, no, I want to please the Lord in this. And so there's lots of things. It ought to be an ongoing thing. You know, we never get to the point where we kind of have solved all the problems and we do everything perfectly. There was always a need to grow. But there's a need to just hold fast, to remain faithful, to remain committed to things that God has taught us in his word, to let our lives be continually shaped by them. The last thing about the word that is a true wonder that I want you to see is in verse 17. The Bible speaks with God's word to train us in God's ways so that we're equipped for God's work. Verse 17 is the Bible's sufficiency. It says this scripture, it's been breathed out by God to teach us, to correct us, to get us back on track, to train us in the right way, that the man of God, the Christian, may be complete, some say adequate or prepared, thoroughly equipped for every good work. We have God's word not only to teach us how to live, but to train us how to serve him. There's no greater joy than doing what you were made to do. And what you were made to do is to bring glory to God. What you were made to do is to love God, to worship him, to walk in his ways. God's word is what is going to equip us to do that, to fit us for that purpose, to give us everything that we need, able to meet all the demands. We can find the answer in God's word. Now, Paul is writing 2 Timothy to Timothy, and it's his last letter. If you go ahead and read chapter 4, you'll see him kind of giving parting words, like he's ready. He's expecting not to live much longer. And Timothy has been a protege of Paul. And Paul is still, even in his last days, writing instruction to Timothy, giving him guidance. It must have felt like a terrible loss for the early church to lose the Apostle Paul. Such a mighty man. How are they going to make it? How is Timothy going to go forward without these words of wisdom from Paul? Paul says, everything you need, Timothy, has been breathed out by God. Everything you need is in God's word. Everything we need for a godly life and fruitful ministry is found in the Bible. You know, if I were on some shopping channel that I guess they still exist on TV. When you go to Amazon's homepage, you see little shopping infomercials on the bottom as well, or you see ads on TV or ads on the internet, and they're hawking something that is just so great. And by the time you get done watching it, you're like convinced. You know, those are the best socks that have ever been made. I need to buy a 20-pack of them right now before that timer goes out and that sale ends. But what happens is you buy the product and you get it and you find out they're just lousy socks, you know? There's really nothing that great about them. But we get sucked in and we're like, oh, this is amazing. That's what those ads try to do to us. Listen, I could never hype up the Bible bigger than it actually is. Because it's God's word. It teaches us how to live. It gives us everything we need to work for God, everything we need to live our lives and enjoy them for God's glory. It's here. I'm not good at hype and making a commercial, infomercial to sell you, but I could just read what God has said about his own word. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. Do you want that? Is that what we need? It's right here. But the way you're going to get it is not by pulling out your credit card. Unless you need to buy a Bible, then you can do that. But it's not a quick transaction where you just order it and a few days it comes in the mail. It's not how it works. What's needed to get the benefit out of God's word is dedication over time. This book is too big for you to just skim through today and get what you need. It's too profound for you to glance over it and understand all you need to know. It requires daily, regular, consistent reading, thinking, and study. It requires you to pore over it with an open heart, asking God to teach you. So the price to pay for the wonder of the word is prolonged attention. And I know right now some of you are thinking you are stressing my prolonged attention span already with this sermon. But this is it. This is the word. This is what we need. It's amazing. It has everything we need. We need to devote ourselves to it. Do you want to serve God? Study the scriptures. Do you want to glorify God? Study the scriptures. Do you want to know how to live? Study the word. This is for the youngest of us to the oldest of us. I just saw the youngest of us a baby. They cannot read. But the others of us here that can read and think, this is for you. This is for you to dig into. I'm going to ask you, based on this wonder of the word, I'm going to ask you to make a commitment. Not a commitment to me, but a commitment to the Lord. A commitment to the Lord that you will take personal, regular time to read, think about, study the scriptures. That you would do this on a regular basis. I think that is something God would require of all of us. Given the fact that personal copies of the word are so freely available, there's no reason why we shouldn't regularly be reading it on our own, thinking about it, asking God to teach us. So without, you know, raising your hands or walking an aisle or crying out or anything like that, would you make a commitment to regularly be in God's word? I mean, don't you want God's wisdom for how you live? Don't you want God's instruction for how to serve him? Of course you do. So we need to make that commitment. And then I'm going to ask you to make a second commitment. And that is that you would talk to someone else about what you read in the word. So one of the ways we learn, right, is by taking in, but it's also by trying to say something to someone else. I had a professor in seminary, Harry Walls, and he would come into class every day, and he'd have a little note card in his hand, just a small piece of paper, and he'd have some verses on it from the Bible and a few thoughts on it, and he called it his daily manna. He said, every day I read the word and I ask God to give me some fresh bread for that day. And he wrote it out on a little note card. And there were a few thoughts. And so he'd come into class and he would share with us just a couple minutes of the verse and why that spoke to him today. And sometimes he got a little preachy and kind of preached at us for a few minutes. But it was good. And what he was modeling for us is going into the word and thinking about it, considering it on a daily basis. We need daily bread and we need daily help from God. But just him talking about it made him think about it a lot more. And it had the added benefit of making somebody else think about it. So I'm going to ask you to make a commitment to be in the Word and make a commitment to tell somebody else about it. If you got other people living in your house that are Christians, that's easy. Tell them about it. Or you can come on Sunday morning and tell somebody else about it. Tell a coworker about it. Look for someone that you can talk to about reading through the scriptures. I know one of our members here sends an email to somebody in the morning after reading the scripture, and they swap emails about what they've read in the word. Be faithful in the word and be faithful in communicating that to somebody else. Now, the elders, we want to help every one of you to keep those commitments, because I think those are commitments every one of us ought to make. We want to help you keep those, and so what we've done in the past is have a Bible reading plan for the whole church, and you see that in the bulletin, and it's just ending, actually, this week of reading through the Bible again, and we're going to publish and have available for you a Bible reading plan that we want to encourage all of you to do together. Now, I know some of you may have habits of Bible reading that you're already faithfully doing, and man, I praise God for that. I don't want to discourage you from doing that. But if you don't have a regular plan, then you really ought to jump on board with this plan. It's going to go chronologically through the Bible, so it'll let you fit in those stories that come later into the places where they belong as you read through the Bible, and it'll help you make more sense of it that way. It's also divided up where there's an Old Testament reading and a New Testament reading. So that means if you've never read through the whole Bible before and it's really a big task, you could just do the New Testament reading, which is shorter, and you could build a habit of faithfully reading through the New Testament in the coming year. The advantage of us all doing the same plan is it's easy to talk about it with one another. It's easy to come on Sunday afterwards and say, hey, what did you think of that this week? Or, I didn't understand this that was going on. Or, man, this verse really encouraged me. It's easy when we're all pushing that same direction, trying to keep that same commitment together. I think of it kind of like the wonder of Christmas, the wonder of all the lights and decorations. It's more fun when you do it with other people who are also saying, wow, this is amazing. If we will commit together to be in the Word and be in it together, it will help us a lot to remain faithful to it, and it will help us to be able to talk about it with one another. So a Bible reading plan is one way we want to help you to keep that commitment. A second way is through discipleship groups. Now, we've had these, and one thing that we have not done really in discipleship groups is talk a lot about the Bible reading from that week. And if you wonder, what is a discipleship group? Well, a discipleship group is simply a smaller group of people who meet together in a home or maybe even at the church for the purpose of helping each other do what that verse at the beginning said in Hebrews 10, to provoke each other to love and to good works. Help each other by helping each other talk about the Bible reading that we did that week, the memory verse that we've encouraged that week, and even the message from this week, the questions that you find on your handout, to think through those. Now, we've got two, three groups going now. We'd love to have more than that, because I think it would profit you so much to be regularly in the Word than to meet with a group of people that have also been trying to do the same thing and to talk about those scriptures together. I don't think you could say, oh, you know what, Pastor Jack, that sounds like it really will hurt me spiritually. You know, I just feel like if I read the Bible and then meet with other Christians and talk with them about it, I'm going to go downhill. Now, all of us recognize, obviously, this would be helpful. I know we have all kinds of different schedules, all kinds of different things going on in our lives. And so that's why we are trying to find out from you, that Pastor Derek mentioned this morning. There is a web page where you can put what times and days you might be available and give a suggestion on when you might be available. It might be that we would have groups at various times every day of the week that would be meeting and talking about the Word together. That would be amazing. I look at the wonder of the Word, and I look at our church, and I wonder how much stronger would we be as a church if we devoted ourselves together to being in the Word and encouraging each other to be in the Word. I think the benefits are just enormous. Like, I can't even imagine how helpful it would be. So the commitment I asked you to make, I realize I just gave a commercial and you forgot about it. The commitment is to regularly be in the Word and to talk about it with somebody else. And the ways we're going to try to help you in the coming year is provide a schedule that we can all follow and help organize groups that we can encourage one another as we get into the Word. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a word of prayer. Let's ask the Lord to help us to keep that commitment and to grow as a result of it. Dear Father, we are amazed at your Word. I pray that you would stir in us a real awe, a wonder, an amazement, an astonishment even. More amazing than angels singing to us from the heavens as we have our Creator, the one who made all things from nothing, has spoken to us in the Word to teach us how to live, to give us everything we need, to bring glory to you, to serve you. Lord, I pray that you might stir in us a real joy to know that we have your Word, a real hunger to unlock what is inside of this book, to teach us, to give us victory over sin, to help us as we try to serve you, as we try to share the good news with others and encourage one another. Lord, give us a real joy and hunger to get into your Word. I pray, Lord, that you would help us to keep a commitment to regularly be in the Scriptures, to open them up consistently, time after time, week after week, to hear from you, to learn from you, to know you more, to love you better. God, we pray you'd help us. And help us, Lord, as well to talk to one another, talk to our families, talk to our friends and here at church and elsewhere about the wonders that we uncover in your Word. Lord, teach us from it. God, I pray that you might stir in us a real passion to know your Word, that you would strengthen that passion that's already there and help it to continue. God, we praise you for the way you've shaped our lives already through your Word, and we ask you to do it more. We ask you to give us humble hearts that we would receive instruction from your Word, that we'd be corrected by it, that we'd grow because of it. Lord, help us in our understanding Help us to grow in our knowledge of your word so that we can grow in our obedience to it. So God, we pray that you would help us with this, that you might be glorified as we know and enjoy and love you. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.